are about to hear a life-changing message preached at the Qadesh Family Church in Memphis by the Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay. In this powerful Sunday message, Reverend Lindsay continues on being born again for real. He discusses the later signs of being born again. When you are born again, the Lord changes your internal spirit and heart such that you manifest godliness on the outside. As it says in Romans 12:2, the Lord is transforming you through the renewing of your mind. So listen in to this powerful teaching as you continue to grow in the Lord.
Jesus now. Don't go straight to hell. Don't die in your sins. Give your life to Christ. Oh, give your life. Oh, give your life. Your life.
Wow. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Now it is time for the most important part of the service. The beautiful song has been sung for us to give our life to Christ. It reminds me of a verse that says in Psalms 135, It says, I am counting on the Lord. Yes, I am counting on him. In his word do I put my hope. Hallelujah. That's the NLT version. So if you are putting your word, your hope in the word today, the blessed word is going to be brought to you by our very own anointed pastor, our father, our anointed man of God that God has given to us. I want you to be on your feet. Let your hope be in the word, okay? Listen to the word of God brought through the powerful anointed pastor. Please welcome our very own Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay.
Oh, give do it better for Jesus.
Come on, let's lift up those
hands. Come on, come on. Let me see.
Amen.
Let me see you praise. Let me see you
name.
Sing. Those who know your name.
Put
their trust
in you.
Diana, I like your moves.
There is no other faithful God. So loving and true.
Spencer is trying to follow us, but I think the stomach is hindering him a bit.
Put your trust in him.
Cameraman, I think you can show that one. Come on, come on, come on.
So loving and true. Oh, how I love the name of Jesus.
How I love.
Oh, how I love his name so sweet.
How I love.
Oh, I love the name of Jesus.
No other name is more to me. How I love.
Oh, how I love the name of Jesus.
How I love.
Oh, how I love his name so sweet.
How I love.
Oh, how I love the name of Jesus.
No other name is more to me. Clap for the Lord Jesus and give him a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love to be where you are. Your word says in Psalm 73 and verse 28, as for me, nearness to God is my good. In the New American Standard Bible, it explained that when we are close to you, it's good for us. Because your word says, draw near unto God and he will draw near unto you. Thank you, Father. That you, when we submit ourselves to you and we flee from the devil, you draw close. Today, speak your word into our lives. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, one more time. Anoint us, lead us, speak. Use this pulpit to affect your people and to break down every yoke because of the anointing. I pray anybody who came here with a heavy burden, your word says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Bring rest because of your word. In Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Why don't you give your neighbor, blow a kiss. Tell him this is a COVID kiss. Bible says, kiss one another with a kiss of charity. This is the COVID version. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Yeah, I like Victoria. I like you the way you do yours, like the queen. You take it and then you just spread it. You are blessed. You may be seated. Zoomers, you get the best of kisses. God bless you. Amen. Well,
amen.
The church is fuller than usual. And we have space. I believe that we are rehearsing for International Sunday. Clap for the Lord Jesus. I can feel the joy. I can feel the excitement. I can feel the expectation. And I think that it's a build-up for the International Sunday, which is the first Sunday in the month of next month. Clap for the Lord Jesus, which is September, right? So make sure you come. We're going to celebrate our differences in a spirit of unity. Bible says that ye may be one, even as you and I are one. Jesus Christ was saying the church ought to be one as well. Unity. And so we want to demonstrate it every year. God has blessed us with several nationalities, almost 20 different nationalities in the church. Oh, I thought you would put your hands together for the Lord. And it will be wrong not to recognize the different versions of humanity that God has given us. Some with pot belly, some with flat plate belly, some all kinds of different people that we have. And I believe that it's all a blessing. Hallelujah. Well, last week we talked about a few things which we're going to continue today. Amen. We talked about the new birth, being born again, what it means, and some signs, you know. Now, you need to realize that when you are born again, it's a very significant thing that has happened to you. You see, a very, very significant thing. And it's significant because God would like to interact with you. You know, when you look in the Bible, the Bible says that God came to call Adam in the cool of the day. God called Adam to fellowship with him in the book of Genesis. But unfortunately, unlike previous times when Adam could come and interact, Adam could not come. Actually, Adam, Bible says that, but Adam hid himself. And then God says, Adam, where art thou? And Bible says, Adam said, I heard you coming and I hid myself. You know, you see, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, and they heard the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. You know, when somebody visits you in the cool of the day, when you are unwinding, that's usually when Lady Pastor was in love with me. She used to visit me in the cool of the day, you know, when she was trying to propose to me. You know, I mean, I could see that she was in love. And in the cool of the day, when people visit you in the cool of the day, they are in love with you. Tell somebody, God is in love with me. Tell somebody, God is in love with me. You know, she's still in love, so she still visits me in the cool of the day. Okay, so God was walking, especially when they visit you in the garden. In the garden, in the cool of, how romantic. Tell somebody, how romantic. God is very romantic when it comes to his relationship with us. You see, so he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. You know, I mean, how many of you, if your beloved is coming, you're going to run away? No, you're not going to run away. You're going to run toward. But they ran away because something had changed. Something had changed. And verse 9, let's keep going. Verse 9, and the Lord called unto Adam and said, where are you? It's like, why? Why are you far? Keep going. Verse 10, and he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Anytime that you want to hide your nakedness from somebody, you are not, you don't trust the person. You're not intimate. Nakedness means transparency. You can share your secret things. Anytime that you say that, no, I can't share my secret things with you, I have to hide it from you. You're saying that we are not that close. You know, you. I don't know you like that. Yeah. I'm guarding my circles. That's what happened. Wasn't like that. But suddenly, Adam was saying, I don't know you like that. You know, I don't want to come that close. I don't have that kind of relationship with you. You can't come that close. You see that? So the Lord had to stand back and said, have you done, what has happened? Something has changed. Have you eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that you should not eat? Yeah. And then Adam then revealed. And the man said, the woman whom thou givest me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. You see? And the Lord, blame shifting. And the Lord said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? It's like you've broken our relationship. I mean, I don't know whether you've had a broken relationship before, but because some people can speak in a way that it can destroy your relationship, even with your mother, with your pastor, with other people. That's what had happened. And so God told Eve, what is this that you've done? You've spoiled the relationship. You spoiled the plan that I had for mankind. I wanted to relate in the cool of the day. I wanted mankind to be close to me. I wanted to keep them in the garden of romanticism, garden where we can be close together. That's why I created you in my image. Now you've changed it all. You've changed the very nature of man. Man cannot relate with God that way anymore. And the woman actually explained the source of that problem. The woman said, it wasn't me, but the serpent beguiled me. The word beguiled means poisoned. It means corrupted, deceived me. It means that, I mean, tricked me. And I did eat. So, ladies and gentlemen, all the world is under trickery of the devil. And because of that, Bible calls that we are the children of disobedience. You know, we are the offspring of disobedience. Because of that kind of closeness, you can see for yourself. Before, if you're born again, now you're close to God, you can relate, you can pray, you can do your quiet time, you can have retreat. Remember that when you were not born again, you didn't have that kind of relationship. So something has to be restored. You know, so that's the spiritual thing that was actually destroyed. The spirit. Bible says, we read the last time that God is a spirit. God is a spirit. John chapter 4, verse 23. Let's go there. You see, that's the nature of God. God actually imputed the nature. And I'll show you. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him. God has always been looking again. God is a spirit. Okay, not flesh. So, when they say that God made it in his image, some people say, you know, flesh, but it's possible, but at least here, Bible says God is spirit. It's a spirit. And therefore, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That means that you can't worship him if you don't do it in spirit. All right? So, if God gave the nature of spirit to mankind, that spirit was corrupted, was changed. And therefore, if God wants to restore us back, he has to bring back to the spiritual nature, you see. And remember again, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. Let's go from verse 6, actually. Genesis chapter 2 from verse 6. Bible says, Genesis 2 verse 6. Then went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the earth, of the ground. Verse 7. And the Lord God formed man. God made sure the surface was soft enough for the clay to be usable, malleable. Okay? And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Hallelujah. So you see, life comes through the breath of God. So life goes away when the breath of God goes away. Now, the new birth is a spiritual birth, you see. So as we're talking about being born again, remember that it's very important. So with this at the background, let's go back to John chapter 3 from verse 1. John chapter 3 from verse 1. Nicodemus' discourse with Jesus Christ. John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This same man, keep going please. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Okay. People know Jesus. People know about Jesus, but they don't know him. So Nicodemus was like that. He knew about Jesus. He could even narrate, oh, you are a rabbi. You came from God. The miracles are great. Only God can use a man to do this. So all those comments came from a religious person. Ladies and gentlemen, Christianity is not religion. It's not a religion. It is a relationship. Okay? So this is all man's religion. Is man's way of reaching God. But God, Christianity is God's way of reaching back to man. You see? Yeah. So Adam and Eve were separated. And from that day on, because of that separation, anybody who wanted to be close to God needed to make efforts and build back the relationship. That's effort by human being. It's never worked. You see that? It's never worked. And so God, in his mercy, is trying to reach us. So Jesus explains. Jesus answered and said. So Nicodemus was trying to use religion to come close to God. But Jesus explained and said, verily I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Yeah, your efforts at reaching God cannot happen except you're born again. You cannot see. You cannot approach. You cannot visualize. You cannot come in close contact with God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? That's a very important question. Because he's saying that, look, we know what we know already. How can we get back to our original nature that you try to create us? We can't. It's too late. It's too late. We are old. We are big. We can't be born again. But thank God that God is the God of impossibilities. With God, all things are possible. Amen. Yeah. But Jesus answered, "Verily I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Remember this. Must be born of the water and Spirit. I'm going to go into the Old Testament to explain to you before I come back to the New Testament, the new birth. You see, this Jesus' thing is very real. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom. And he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. You're old, born, you're born. Yes, Cheryl, you are 16 and a bit. That's 16 years ago you were born and a bit. But that is not the nature. That is the biological birth. But God is talking about the spiritual birth. The birth that makes you look like him again and relate with him again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That is past. That's our birthday. You know, I have my birthday November 18th, 16 years ago. But my spiritual birth is not that. That one was not. That one was earlier. I mean, much later than 16 years ago. I mean, if we use 16 years as a gauge, probably it was about 10 years ago. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Amen. And that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit.
Amen. So
it was born was 10 years ago. The day my flesh was born was about 16 and a bit. You know, clap for my youthful nature. And then he said, marvel not that I said to thee, you must be born again. There is a must. Mr. Religious Nicodemus, Mr. Pharisee, Mr. Commentator, you're commenting about Jesus. Mr., you have the jargons. Oh, Rabbi. Oh, Rabbi. Oh, Rabbi. Ah, God. You can say God things, godly things. God must really be. He knew about miracles. He knew about signs and wonders. He knew about the sign that God was with somebody. But he was not born again. And Jesus told him, no matter your knowledge, no matter your background, no matter how old you are, you must be born again. And don't be surprised that we are telling you, you must be born again. Yeah. And then he explained further that, you know, the wind blows where it listed and you hear the sound thereof, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. That means that it's not a physical thing, you know. And Nicodemus asked, how can these things be? That's a good question. In other words, how can it work? How can it? It's number one, he's saying that, oh, is it possible? And number two, he's asking that, okay, then how do we do it? And Jesus says, you are a master of Israel and you don't know these things. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you this. Jesus Christ said these things to explain that we need the birth of the Spirit to interact with God. All right? Now, he said, unless you are born of the water and of the Spirit. Now, God, when he was leading the Israelites, also said something similar. I want us to open our Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37 from verse number 25, I believe. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse number 25. You know, let's go to verse 24 and see. 24, 23. Okay. Good. Good. Neither they shall defile themselves. And there's 23. Okay, this 23. Neither shall they 24. Great. Great. Ezekiel 36. Go to 36 instead. I think it's better that way. 36 and from verse number maybe 23. Ezekiel 36. God says, and I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. That means God is saying that he's going to use you to show to the world that God can be glorified, that there are people who respect God. For I will take from you, from among you, the heathen, and gather out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. You see, God said, he's prophets and he's telling them that I will gather people that are hidden, that are unbelievers, and I will take them and I will change them and bring them to the promised land. Okay? Now, Israel was being sent to the promised land, to their land, and God was telling them they had sinned, they had gone far, but he's going to do a new thing. Then he said, I will sprinkle clean water. You remember, you shall be born of the water and of the Spirit. I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from your idols will I cleanse you. Clap for the Lord Jesus. You know, our past is dirty. Our past is dirty. And, you know, the Holy Spirit cannot enter into a dirty vessel. So God necessarily has to clean us. That is why when some people are saying that they need to be, when you say come to church or be born again, no, I need to work out some things, sort myself out, clean myself out, just try and, you know, deal with some things, some sins. And you cannot deal with nero. You can't do nero to any sin. You are powerless.
Amen.
Yeah, can't you see? So he said, I will sprinkle, number one. The first process is sprinkle clean water. Bible says, by the washing of water by the word. Clap for the Lord Jesus. So there needs to be preaching. That's the water of the word sprinkled. That brings cleaning. The word cleans. Somebody preaches and you are convicted. Something cleans you and he gives you. And a new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. Ah, I see a new spirit coming to you, a new heart. So our new birth is not a renovation. It's not a facelift. It's not a redecoration of the place. It's a complete change. You see? So when you see Sister Cheryl can come, or Barry, come. You see how Barry is looking now? You see, Barry is the same since she got born again. Her body is the same. You see? So it's like a car. When you buy a car, you know, what happens is that, you know, the car is running the terrible way. Well, if you change the engine and give it a new engine, it will run as good as new. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Now, the flesh is not changeable. The flesh, God took the flesh out of the dust of the ground. So no matter what, it will be the flesh. All right? Same. So your body, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. We are going to use the birth of the flesh. When your mother gives birth to you, as you are, so will you be. Now, when God comes and now sprinkles the water of the word upon you, cleanses you, then he changes the heart. Okay? Changes the heart. Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence. Out of it come the issues of life. Real life will come. So God, knowing that the dust of the earth, nothing can be done about it, at the end of the day, is going to go, down, and then the spirit is going to, so changes the inside, changes the engine, so that you will function again anew. Your body is like this, but when somebody recognizes, and the speed, and the power, and the energy, and the resilience, and something has changed on the inside, which is affecting you on the outside, that God gives you a new heart, and a new spirit. That's a new birth. You're blessed.
Hallelujah.
I say, I will give you a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put inside of you. Okay? Inside of you. So your physical being looks the same, but your activity, your action, your behavior, your character, your everything changes. I can see that I've changed. Amen. And I would take away, the beautiful thing is that it's like a transplant. I would take away the stony heart out of your flesh. I won't change your, but I would take the stony heart, the engine that controls your behavior, that controls your speech, that controls your attitudes. I would take it out and I will give you a heart of flesh, sensitive to God. Amen. So the new birth, that's the reason why it's so important. Many people don't understand why are these new born again people. No, but it's important. You can know all the scriptures you want. You can do anything you want. The thing is that your physical being has a heart already. And that if it's not changed, you will continue to operate. Nobody will see anything. But if God changes it, that's when the difference will come. Okay, so you need a new birth. You need a new birth. It's a spiritual thing. You need it. And God himself says, I will take off the old heart. Yeah. Sherry, you have changed. Sister Ariel, you have changed. Benny, you have changed. You were not like that. I'm telling you, if you are born again, it's a real thing. And I will give you another heart. Let's keep going. Verse 27. Keep going. And I will put my spirit within you. Oh, I love that. I thought you would put your hands together. I will put my spirit within you. The same spirit that was corrupted at the new birth. Now, when you are born again, I will put my spirit within you. Remember, without the spirit, there is no life. So you see, God does not, you see, when you have seen a heart transplant before, the person does not die. And it's amazing that God knew a lot about heart transplant before cardiologists. Because when they are giving you a heart transplant, they take the heart away, but you are alive. They take over the movement, you see, and then the blood is pumping from this side, but the old heart is gone. They put it out there, and then they carry the new heart, and they put it right in and connect it to your old vessels, into your old body, and suddenly you're as good as new. Somebody who was breathless, who even could not get up gasping, you get up and you run. Clap for the Lord Jesus. God will give you a new spirit, his own spirit. And you see, the beautiful thing is that it's not your old heart that has been corrected. It's not your old heart that has been treated. The way we are, if they take any aspect of our heart, it will not be good. It's so corrupted. Nothing that the devil does is repairable. It's completely and permanently destroyed. It has to be changed, taken out, and a new spirit put in, a new heart put in. That's what it is. Yeah. You know, but I think, Brother William, the other time I had a car, a Nissan, is it a Nissan or Honda? Odyssey. I mean, we were coming from a camp meeting from Atlanta. It just broke down. It was going slow and slow and slow, draining oil, spot, and then it broke down in the middle of nowhere, around 1 a.m. It was very, very troubling. Now, this is what your old heart can do. And we had to drag it slowly to Memphis. The only thing that made it move, thank God for Brother William, God has some new heart, some new engine. We threw the old engine away. We bought a new engine. They fixed it. And that was when it was good enough. And I decided to sell it to get a new car. Clap for the Lord Jesus. That car is still moving in somebody's house, all right? So God realized you cannot function with that old. It's going to just give you trouble until you go to hell. Like it used. Now you're going to stop in that darkness where nobody, no help can come. You see? And he said, and I'll put my spirit within you. That same spirit that I put at the beginning that Satan corrupted, I will give you again. That's why we call it the new birth. You will be born again. Born again. Born again. Because there's been a first birth. Well, you can look at born again, that again twice. The first one is the birth of the flesh, and the second one is the birth of the spirit. Well, I would like to look at it spiritually. The first one is the one that Satan corrupted. God gave birth to me. Satan corrupted it. Well, God wants to give birth again to me. This time, the corrupted spirit, he vanquishes. Put it away. I'll give you a new spirit. I gave you the first one. I can give you a second one. Therefore, I will make you born again. Yes, he told the Israelites, this is what I'm going to do. My spirit within you, and I'll cause you to walk in my statutes. That means that, you know, all of us, I don't know, maybe Alex is different. He, even as an unbeliever, he could obey God, but I couldn't. Yeah, I couldn't. You know, I couldn't. I mean, I couldn't. Of course, that shows how it was, you know. So when I was being, you know, came to church, it was not easy, you see. It wasn't easy at all. And gradually, you see, that thing has changed. Nobody was okay until the Lord came in. And I could not obey. I could not tell the truth. I could not stop lying. I could not stop fornicating. I could not stop pornographizing. Nothing evil. You see, being rude, being prideful, nothing. I could not obey the word of God. You're joking. What's good about it? It says, when I put my spirit within you, I will cause you now to walk in my statutes, and you will now be able to keep my judgments and do them. Clap for the Lord Jesus. And do them. And do them. Ladies and gentlemen, it's important that we get born again, and it's important that anybody that we get in contact with, we introduce to the new birth. Otherwise, nothing, they can do nothing. And God will not be able to give them entrance into heaven.
No.
You knew it. Even when God was trying to reach Adam, and if they hid themselves, even if they force you into heaven, you can't go if you are not born. You can't. You will run away. You cannot interact with God. If a mistake is made by Peter and put your name in heaven, you can't stay there. You can't stay there. Your very nature will repel you to hell. You see? So this is a very important aspect, to do them. And that is the reason why you realize that real Christians walk in obedience. Next, verse 20. I want us to finish this chapter quickly. Verse 28. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I'll be your God. This is the only way God can be your God, new birth. This is the only way you can relate with the forefathers that God had. This is the only way you can have favor with God. I will also save you from all your uncleanness. It means I'll forgive all your sins. I will. I mean, I'm telling you that this, everything Jesus came to do and was explaining to John, to Nicodemus, was already explained by Ezekiel in the Bible. And I will call for the corn, and I will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. You see, as part of the new birth, God blesses you. Yeah. Truly born again, I can assure you, God will treat you like a special son. Favor will come to you. He will give you corn and increase it. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, godliness is profitable in all things. Bible says, having promise of the life that now is and of the life that is to come. I have seen a significant change in the blessedness of the new birth. Yeah. I can see that you love me more. Yeah. Yeah, I'm lovable. I have favor. I'm serious. Eh? I can see that even at the workplace, it says something about you when you are born again for real. That draws coin. That draws corn. That draws favor. That takes famine from you. There is a blessing awaiting you. You better be born again for real.
Amen. It's true. Amen.
And he said, and I will multiply the fruit of the tree and increase of the field, that you shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Ladies and gentlemen, the new birth has ramifications that are so great, nobody should refuse it. Then shall you remember your old evil ways and your doings that were not good, and you shall hate or loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for the abominations you had. Brother Michael cannot, in fact, when I say it, he doesn't want me to say it, that he did drugs. Not only did he pushed the drugs for others, and he helped others to drugify themselves. Now, Brother Michael, I think I want to bring you some drugs.
No.
Oh, my goodness. But you told me it was, you. When you do the drugs in those days, was it not making you high?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but why don't you want to go high now if I bring you some more?
That's the wrong direction.
Oh, my goodness. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Yeah. That's called the new birth. You loathe it. You hate it. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't hate your past sins, there is something wrong about your new birth. I remember Esther. When she was not born again, she was going to church but not born again. One day, I went to her house with Lady Pastor, and her mother was very angry. Very angry with her for disobeying and rudeness and all kinds of things. And then you could see how they related. And then we went there to try and resolve it. When we went there, the way she spoke to us, the way she brought us to our level, put us on the ground, looked away from us, walked away from us.
What a shock.
All the evil things, rudeness.
Forgive us.
Rudeness.
Hey, this so little Esther.
This girl dressed as down. We by the time we're going, my tail was in between my legs like a dog, and I didn't know what to do. As for my wife, she was so desperated.
Wow.
And then she got up and confidently walked off. It's like, what? You can feel all you want. But, I said, but, in the fullness of time, through prayers,
through prayer,
through intercessions, when the Spirit, God changed the heart, old heart, evil heart of
renewed,
the evil ways,
amen.
And gave her a new heart
washed.
And a new spirit. Because I tell you, I never stopped praying for that girl.
Amen. It's true.
And one day I was there, I went to visit her mom. Not even here. I said, this girl, I don't even want to see her.
Oh.
When I finished visiting her mom, then as I was going, she ran after me. Pastor, I would like to talk to you. I said, talk to me. And I said, no, I don't want to talk to you in front of her. I want to talk to you personally.
Oh.
Look, we did a video call. And as she was talking to me, she was crying. She said, Pastor, I don't know what came upon me. I don't know what evil came upon me. But I'm so ashamed of the way I spoke to you. She started crying. She was loathing her own past. And ladies and gentlemen, I prayed with her as she got born again. I can say to the glory of God that if there's one person I know is born again, it is this Esther girl.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Because her life before and her life now is totally different. Spiritual surgery. The Lord has taken the old heart and put a new heart in here, his own spirit. And she loads after the things. Today, she's leading praise and worship. So much anointing is the presence of God. That's the new birth. And I like this. He says in verse 32, I will not do this. I'm not doing this for your sakes. Not for your sakes do I do this, saith the Lord. Be it known unto you. Be ashamed and confounded from your own ways, O house of Israel. Saying that not anything you did, not by the works of righteousness. Salvation is by the grace of God. By grace are we saved, and that not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He explained all that, that is grace. It's for my sake. That saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste shall be builded. Keep going. And the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. When there was nothing, now there will be something. And they shall say, the land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden. You see, the Garden of Eden is here again. It said he will restore you back to the garden, that which was nothing. See, the garden where he actually gave the very first birth, his spirit was poured into that flesh. He said, you will return there. Yeah. This land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden. There's only one other place, the Garden of Eden. It's in the Genesis. When he formed man, put his breath in him. And when the new birth comes, you are restored. And it's just the same as putting you back in the garden. Tell somebody you are back in the garden. Yeah. And the waste and desolate and ruined cities are fenced. Now you're protected and inhabited. Hallelujah. Keep going. Let's finish.
Hallelujah. Then we are in the garden.
That
Amen.
Are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places. It means the thing that was destroyed by the devil, I have now corrected it. Ha! And the plant that was desolate, which was desolate, I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Clap for the Lord. Tell someone, the Lord will do it for me. The Lord will do it. So the new birth is a God thing. We should pray that God will do it in the lives of people. Never give up on people. If you're giving up, you remember Esther. Never give up on people because God can change them. I will do it. That says the Lord. Uh-huh. Now he's saying, now going forward, we should also do for others. That says the Lord, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel. Now, when you are born again, now you need to inquire this of me. You need to ask the Lord to do it for others, to do it for them. He says, I will increase them with men like a flock. So everybody here, you have a responsibility. Esther, you have a responsibility. The way you have been changed, you know that born again is real. Therefore, God says, ask God to do it for others. The same way we ask God to do it for you, my dear. Okay? It's beautiful, isn't it? It's a beautiful thing. Barry, you were not like this. Sure, not like this. I remember you when they brought you and your sister, little girls here. Look at you today. I still remember my children in their foolishness. Today, they are preaching the gospel. Clap for the Lord Jesus. I remember myself as a pimp in a nightclub, raised, seeing all kinds of things. Today, I'm a preacher man. It is the doing of the Lord. And the Bible says, we shall, because of this, we should inquire this of the Lord to do it for them. That it's not enough to have what we have. That he will increase us with men like a flock. That we should be increased. Any church that is satisfied with the number they are, you are not born again. It's not a born again church. He said, when people are born again, the next thing is I will cause them to inquire this of me. Yeah, the Lord who did it, he's not doing it just for one person. He's doing it for a whole lot of people. And for this, I will be inquired of by them to do this for them. And I will do it for them. That I will increase them with men like a flock. Brother William, your fellowship must expand if you are truly born again. Sister Cheryl, Sister Ariel, Brother Michael, whoever, Brother Spencer, unless you are not born again. In fact, if your fellowship does not increase, you are not born again. Perhaps chances are that you're not born again. It's true. One clear sign, he says, if that happens, please go to verse 37 again.
Help us, Lord.
Yeah, that says the Lord, this is the Lord God saying it. I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel. Anybody that belongs to the house of Israel. Benu, you remember how you used to do a lot of evangelism? When I remember evangelism in the church, I remember Benu. Number one evangelist. Amen. Today she's not like that. But she's changing. Clap for the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
When she didn't have children, she was not like this. Now she has children. Maybe she thinks her flock are her children. But you watch her. She's changing. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Yeah. She was the reason why many people came to church. I can mention over and over and over and over again. She still has sheep who are abiding. Only she stopped giving birth when her children got finished. Amen. So, to do it for them, I will increase. He said he will only increase when we ask him to do it. I will increase them with men like a flock. The church is supposed to intercede for souls. That is a primary aim. If God is indeed in the church, one of the primary prayer topics will be for souls. That's why I like it that Bishop, every flow, that never ends the flow without praying for countries to have increase. That's a sign of the new birth. Clap for the Lord Jesus. And many of us, when it reaches that state, that's when we go to bed. We resign and go to bed. Okay. He's finished blessing us and things. This country's thing, soul's thing, is for pastors. You're joking. It's not for pastors. Okay. Lord, I will increase them with men like a flock. I mean, that word men there is not only for males. Okay. Otherwise, Sherry is not born again. So men and women. And then I like the way he says in verse 38. And he said, this is the kind. This is how they're going to be. And they will be like the holy flock. As the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feast, so shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Do you know what that means? It means that there will be no church that will not be full. There will be no fellowship that will not be overflowing. The waste cities, you see, and they will become holy flock. Holiness comes from the new birth. And all of you, your holiness, it's not because of you. It's not the works of righteousness. God himself said it, that I will do it for my sake. It's not because of you. Victoria, I'm telling you honestly. So it's very important that we pray for people. Intercede for people, Brother Michael. Intercede, Brother Michael. All of you, even when you see our church members, let's do that. You see? Now, when people are born again, it says they will be like the holy flock, the flock of Israel on its solemn feast. And so we started talking about the signs of the new birth, right? That when somebody is born again, you know, you cannot tell. You can't just look at somebody and say you have COVID. There are ways. You have to look for the signs and symptoms, right? And put it together. What are some of the signs that somebody has COVID? When you got COVID, Fever, coughing. You coughed. Me, I had headaches too. Shortness of breath. Body pains. Fatigue. Oh, the COVID, post-COVID, let's come together and then make the diagnosis. Sneezing. Huh? Loss of smell. Sister Ariel had loss of smell. Brad Spencer, you had loss of lip, sore throat. You couldn't go near to your wife. Diarrhea. Vomiting. Weakness. Yeah, Brad Richard, weakness. Yeah, weakness. He has so much diarrhea, we're going to admit him. And then that was the end, by God's grace. Okay, now, when you put those things together, so you see signs. Now, the same way, that's how the doctors do it. They can tell that somebody has liver disease. Somebody has this disease by the signs. So therefore, it's an internal, COVID is an internal disease. It's not outside. The thing is happening inside and it's manifesting on the outside. When you are born again, remember, God says, I'll give you a new heart and I will give you a new spirit. And suddenly, something on the inside will manifest. So we can't see people's inside. The flesh is the same. The flesh is the same. So how do we tell that somebody is born again or that you are born again? And now that we know that it's so important, it comes with blessing, and you cannot relate with God, you cannot obey God's rules, you cannot do anything right unless you're born again. You really need to be born again. And if you're not born again and the signs are not with you, you have to be serious about it and say, no, I need to be born again. Otherwise, I'm not going to heaven. And last week, we talked about the early signs, which is what? The crying sign, which is praying, worship, praise, right? Uh-huh. Praying, worship. These are the crying signs. The baby cries when the baby is born. So once you're born again, one of the signs, you begin to be prayerful. You begin to be worshipful. You begin to be praised. You like to come to church early to praise. In your own home, you want to praise God. You want to worship. Even the songs that you have on your phone changes to worship songs. All you unbelievers who you just play all evil. It's a sign perhaps that a new birth is not there. Yeah, if the new birth is there, you like to cry worship. Amen. And pray. Okay, and then we talked about what? The sucking reflex or sucking sign, which is you love to feed from the Lord's breast. Mighty blessed one, which is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 is what? As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You like the word. You like preaching. You like Bible study. If you don't like Bible study, you don't like scriptures, you don't like preaching, perhaps you're not born again. Or if you're born again, then the next thing is you should like these things. If I was you, I will say, Lord, I am born again. Maybe I'm running away. Then you even start going into the word actively. Say, look, let me see and go into the word and read Christian books and listen to messages that are preached and memorize scriptures. That is a sign. It says, and you but desire. God says that if you are born again, then the next thing is you desire, you suck, you go for the word. Okay? Desire. Start desiring sincerely, genuinely, the milk of the word. The milk, accept that I need it. I need milk. Formula, type of milk from the breast, so that you may grow thereby. Say amen. Amen. All right, so it's very important. And so you realize that people, and then the next sign is what? The holding sign. If you have a baby and you put your finger in, see, it holds you like that, doesn't let you go. And then likes to hold you, likes to be carried. That's fellowship. Fellowship. You like church. I love church. I mean, last week I'd flown in just to New York from Ghana in the morning, and I was desperately changing my flight, moving on this flight until I got here. When I came here, I hadn't even had my shower, but I wanted the fellowship. I mean, I couldn't wait to fellowship with you. I couldn't wait to see Sister Benu. I couldn't wait to see Brother Michael. I couldn't wait for the fellowship. You get the point? Now, anybody, when you are born again, really, you see, when before Adam and Eve were corrupted, they loved fellowshipping with God, with the presence of God, in the cool of the day, coming into the presence of God. But immediately they backslid. And they were corrupted. they ran away from God. Yeah. So fellowship is really great. I think there's a scripture in 1 John chapter 1, verse number 3. Bring it up. You see? And it's a sign, you know, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And then look, colon, and truly, indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. What that means is that when you're born again, one of the things you will love fellowshipping with the brethren. And in so doing, you tend to draw close to fellowship with God and with the brethren and with the Father by fellowshipping with the brethren. That's why Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So really born again people, they become like the Adam of old, the one that had the Spirit of God until it changed. They love the presence of God, fellowship. So coming to church, clap for somebody sitting by you that I hope that you will continue. I remember when the COVID came, one of the sisters called me, Pastor, I can't handle it anymore. I want to go to church. I want to come to church. She even told me, Pastor, if you give me the opportunity, I'll go to other churches until our church is open. She was one of the reasons why I opened the church early. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Sister Diane, clap for the Lord. Clap for the Lord. Amen. So it's a very important thing. Now, there are also late signs, Romans chapter 12. Late signs or later signs. These are early signs, later signs. And I think you did the first three. Romans chapter 12 from verse 1. Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now look at this. Look at this. So the first three signs which you wrote down. Number one, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies. So you realize that you present your bodies to God. That my body is for the Lord. My body is for the Lord. You don't just use your body for anything anymore. You don't use your body for fornication. You don't use your body for adultery, for pornography. Yeah, for drugs, for alcohol. Yeah, Bible says that, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? You get the point? And that the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you. And he actually says that he that destroys his body, his temple, the Lord will destroy him too. You see that? So you see, you can't. Once you're born again, it's like you present your body. Now it's yours, a living sacrifice. You present your body. You present your body to the Lord. You see? You present your body. You see, there's a scripture, I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. He says that, I bring my body under and I bring into subjection. You see that? Bring that 1 Corinthians chapter 9. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. All right? So everybody that's born again, one of the things that will happen, the signs, you will actually reverence God in your body. Yeah. Present your body. God. And you see, when you are presenting something to God, you want it to be holy. Holy. Acceptable unto God. Hallelujah. Holy and acceptable unto God. So you realize that every time you are born again, people, when the Spirit of God is indwelling you, Bible says you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, you will realize that you become like Joseph. Joseph that did not want any sin, did not want any problems. And the Spirit of God really blessed Joseph, even in his trouble. If you really stay holy, the blessing of the Lord will be with you in Jesus' name. And there's a scripture in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9. My wife says, I like that one. Hebrews 1, verse 9. He says that because you have loved righteousness and hated iniquity or evil, God, even thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. You see, when you start putting yourself, you see, making yourself holy, God anoints you and lifts you above your fellows. Your colleagues cannot understand the miracle that has happened. The new birth brings promotion. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Brings promotion. God anoints you just because you love holiness and you hate evil. That's it. Psalm 37, verse 37 says, mark the perfect man, behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. You watch anybody who lives a holy life presenting his body, they are different. That is why when a nurse followed me to my room, although we were both naked, I walked away not having done anything like Joseph. Even the last minute, I said, no, God, you have so much blessing for me, so much anointing for me, so much great future. Why should I spoil it with just a kushia, 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 just for 3 seconds? I said, no, no, no. Perhaps if I had gone for that 3 seconds of shooting, I would not be here. Oh, some of you have destroyed your future, but God is going to give you another chance in Jesus' name. Holiness is a beautiful thing. Mark the prayer, behold the upright. The end of that man is, don't let that boy take away your future blessings. Don't follow your erection. It will lead you in the wrong direction. I should not say it. All of you young people, marry as a virgin in Jesus' name. Marry as a virgin. If you've broken already, stay from today. I am a virgin. Me, when I got born again and I'd broken, I told God that it's over. It's over. I nearly broke it with that black jet, but it's over. I didn't, by the grace of God. There were close shave, but by the grace of God, each time when it gets, oh Lord, I can't do it. I Josephize. In Jesus' name. Yeah. The day you're almost falling, please call me. Call me. Call me. And if you are bold enough, show me video. I'll tell the person, stop it. Pastor, help! I'm about to fall. Okay. So, number one, you present your bodies. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Yeah. Number one, you present your body. Number two, Romans chapter 12 verse 1 again. As a living sacrifice, you make sacrifices for the Lord. Yes. You see, you should present yourself. You see, the thing that brought the promise of God to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, was when Isaac was tied and put on the altar, and Abraham lifted up the knife to slay him for the sacrifice of God. Until you do that, you will never fulfill the will of God for your life, God's promises for your life, until you have become an Isaac. Isaac is called the son of promise, not Ishmael. You have to allow yourself. He asked, Father, I have seen the wood and the fire, but where is the lamb for the sacrifice? And Abraham says, the Lord will provide himself a lamb. Amen. That has been my wife and I, our mantra. When it comes to difficult things, the Lord will provide himself a lamb. The Lord will provide himself a lamb. When we have to make sacrifices. And he always provides. He's always provided. Yeah. You have to now tie yourself. You see, right now, nobody is asking me to preach. But I've tied myself. I'm making a sacrifice. You know, when I got to New York, I didn't have to change. You know, and it was costing a lot of money to even make it for the fellowship. But that's a sacrifice that I made. Born again people, for real, they make sacrifices for rehearsal. Sacrifices like tithing. If you are here and even your tithe is a problem, perhaps you are not born again. Perhaps you are not born again. Or you are a rebellious born again child. Yeah. Sacrifice. I mean, making a sacrifice monthly. You put yourself on the altar. I mean, you can feel that you are, it's almost like dying. Look, that is real. That's real. Every real Christian wants to make a sacrifice. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. The Bible says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross daily. And follow me. And Jesus said to them all, if any man will come after me, you want to come after Jesus? You have to deny yourself. You have to mean, Charlie, I'm yours. deny the old nature. Let him deny himself. Take up his cross. Cross is for what? For dying, for sacrificing. You have to carry your cross, and it should be a daily affair. And follow me. New birth will bring a daily, I have to do this thing daily. I have to sometimes sacrifice sleep on a daily basis. I wake up early to pray. It's a sacrifice. On a daily basis. Ask my wife, ask my children. Daily. Daily. And it's not a one time, it's a daily thing. It has to be consistent. It has to be consistent. It has to be consistent on a daily basis, Brother Spencer. It has to be consistent. When your wife gets you angry, you don't just blurt and then become profane on her. It has to be daily. You see, you control yourself, self-control, sacrifice on a daily basis. Am I confusing you, Mrs. Cameraman? You look beautiful, but you're confused, I think. You're struggling. But don't worry, I'm back. Hallelujah. Amen. It has to be a daily thing. Ladies and gentlemen, I can assure you, if you can sacrifice that daily as a newborn person, God will also bring, will provide himself a lamb daily. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Daily. There's always going to be, it's going to be a life of miracles. Just like Isaac, daily. My life is a miracle. My life is a miracle. If you know my background, you know I shouldn't be here. It's a miracle. But it's taking a daily sacrifice unto the Lord. Yeah. Just yesterday, I found somebody has given me some money. An envelope, quite a size. I had forgotten about it. That was quite some handsome amount. And I give to my wife. I said, we should need to pay tithe of this immediately. You get the point? Daily. It's a miracle. It's a miracle I found that money. Blessing. May your life be like that in Jesus' name. So number two is you must make sacrifices. Okay. All of you who don't work anywhere, work. When we say we're going for outreach, it's a sacrifice. Sacrifice means something you don't have to do. I decide to do it for the sake of the Lord. I'm doing it for the Lord. It's my time, it's my money, it's my energy, but I'm giving it to the Lord free from my heart out of love or obedience. And then it says, which is your reasonable service? Anybody who's born again, that's reasonable, that's service, and it's not unreasonable to the person. It's not an unreasonable thing. It's not unreasonable to tithe. You don't think it's unreasonable for you to be called to come and clean the church. It's a reasonable service. Bible says, which is your reasonable service? I mean, you realize that when you are really born again and you can see the blessedness of born again, nothing is unreasonable anymore. You will do anything for the Lord. I mean, you will sing for the Lord. You will forgive for the sake of the Lord. Yeah. You will let go of boys that you even love, but they are trying to make you disobey. You will let go for the Lord. And you think it's a reasonable thing. It's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. You always tell, like Joseph, he said, it's the right thing to do. He said, how can I do this wickedness and sin against God? You see, you sacrifices are a reasonable thing to do. It's not, you don't see it as an unreasonable thing. It's not too much. It's not too much. It will never be too much. Your tithe will never be too much. You will never look at the tithe and say, look, it's too much. You first, because you're filled with gratitude of the new birth, of the fact that God, you gave me $1,000. Is it too much to give you $100? It's always a reasonable thing. Yeah. Lord, you created my being and gave me emotions. It's not too much to tell me to wait till I'm married before I break my virginity. It's not too much. It's reasonable. 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 Number four, verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. The next thing is, you are not conformed to the world. You don't toe the line of the world. Yeah. You don't toe. I was very surprised when my children told me, each of them, they had initially decided when they stand for college, they were going to go far from their parents. Yeah. But by the grace of God, when it was time to go, I was there when the first one told me, I want to. We had even arranged to go this way. We've gone to Atlanta, to Emory, to this, to this, to this. She went for, he went for orientation. All those. We went to Vanderbilt. We went to another one in Chattanooga. Knoxville. UT Knox. All that. Then one day we had even signed everything gone. We're sitting at the back there. Because mom, I think I want to stay with you and daddy. Oh, clap for the Lord Jesus. Yeah. Want to say. And that was it. That was it. You know, later on, he told us something. I was surprised. He said there's a girl who had been pestering him for a while. And that girl had gone to that school. And he was afraid that if he went to that school, he would fornicate. Yeah. You see, you don't conform to the world. You don't toe the line of the world. The world is wearing hot pants, showing clefts. And you also do the same thing. Bum shorts. You know bum shorts? The world is doing that. You also do the same thing. The world is making their dress. The nipple is like shorts. And you too, you are doing the same thing. Yeah. The world is they go to school and they tell you, but everybody, and when they feel that you're a virgin, you look weird and odd. Look, if you cannot be odd for Christ, you are not born again. You are not born again. If you cannot be odd for Christ in this world, you are not born again. The Bible says, if you will be ashamed of the Lord in this perverse generation, he will also deny you before his Father. Yeah. I mean, rarely will you see a doctor preaching on a Sunday like this. A doctor of my caliber. And I'm a specialist by the grace of God. I'm not joking, by the grace of God. I mean, how many of them would you see preaching and preaching for free? You have to. It's not the wealth type. It's not the wealth style. It's not normal for beautiful, honorable people like you on a Sunday to be here like this. No. No. You get my point. Yeah. It's not normal to want to get married. If you can have many girls, why do you have one? It's not normal to be saying yes ma'am, at your age, 17. Yo, other people, they just, hell with you. Who do you think you are? I know better than you, ma'am. You get my point. But so you are not conformed to this world. The Bible says the next in chapter 2 or number 5, you are transformed. You are changed. You are changed. Okay? The next one is you are changed. There's a change in you. Anybody can see that there's a change in you. You know, like I was telling you about the story of Esther. Not the Esther in the Bible, the Esther in the church. I can see by Michael, there's a transformation. A transformation. Now, when you say transformation, it's a change that transcends every aspect of you. That's what you call transform. You are formed. It has transformed. Change. Every aspect of you has been changed. Your speeches, your talking, all these things have become different. Ladies and gentlemen, I pray that through the new birth, you'll be transformed. You'll be transformed. You'll be transformed. When Paul got born again, everybody knew. They were even surprised, the disciples. Hey, this guy was a killer. But look at him today. He's saving people. He's saving people. Amen. You're transformed. You're changed.
I receive it.
May you be changed. Amen. In Jesus' name.
I receive it.
May your parents see that you're changed.
Amen.
May your spouse see that you're changed.
Amen.
May your boss see that you're changed.
I receive it.
May we see a change, even in the church.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah. But Brother William, I can see that even since you came here, you are different. If your wife won't say it, I'll say it. They're different. Cherry, is he not a better man with time? Better and better. Amen. And then the final thing is that you are your mind is renewed. Your thinking is different. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Your thinking changes. Bible says that you are transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind. your mind, and your mind gets renewed through the word. You see, Romans 10 and verse 17, Bible says, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God will change you. The thing that changes us, that transforms us, is the word, hearing, preaching, and seeing what God is doing. Then you get changed. Your mind is renewed. Your mind is renewed. You think differently from unbelievers. Yeah. You don't believe in side chicks anymore. You don't believe in fornication anymore. Meanwhile, you used to believe in them. You don't believe in drinking anymore. You don't believe in beating your spouse anymore. You don't believe in just running your mouth anywhere. You don't believe in being rude anymore. You get my point? Yeah. You don't believe in all these negative. You don't believe in being funny to in-laws. Yeah. You don't believe in, you know, lambasting pastors and churches anymore. You don't believe in those things. You know, there was a man who thought when he came to the church, love means sex. He said before he came to the church, every time that, he said, I love you, means the next thing, sex. And he proved that he loved every girl. Yeah. And he felt he was a very good principled man. So everybody who says, look, I really love you, the next thing is I want to prove it to you. Yeah. So he proved to him. And when he came to the church and got born again, he continued that. So the girls gradually were all being loved. Yeah. Yeah. Including people's wives. God forbid. And then Bibles, you know, I said, one day, this is a real story. The man is a pastor now. One day, he had finished loving somebody who was in the church in the hotel room. And then when he slept, wanting to continue to love the person, he said, and then he had also heard that brotherly love continue. So he continued. Now let brotherly love continue. Oh, I'm your brother, so I loved you last night. Let's continue. But when he woke up to let brotherly love continue, then suddenly he saw a huge figure, black, standing at the foot of the bed. Yeah. He became very afraid. You know how you see a vision and you know exactly what it means. And immediately he heard a voice that this is not the right love. And then a verse about flee youthful lust. Let fornication never be mentioned once. From that day, he changed his love for the girls. He started giving them chocolates instead of sex. You know, his mind was renewed based on the word that flee youthful lust. And he just changed everything so much. He became a pastor. And now this evil act has become his testimony. His mind is renewed. It's a sign. Ladies and gentlemen, if somebody says they are born again, and if you are born again, you have to look for these signs. The early sign of crying, the early sign of sucking the word, the early sign of holding or fellowship, then the later signs. Number one is what? Present your body. You realize your body becomes a holy, holy entity. You don't just use your body for anything. Masturbation and all kinds of things. All kinds of things, you know. And then so one. And then what's the next one?
Make sacrifices.
Present your body as you make sacrifice. You make sacrifices. Amen. You see that you make sacrifices. And then the third one, the next one was what?
Renewing your mind.
You actually you do reasonable service to the Lord. You work for the Lord. In other words, reasonable service. You join the choir. You give up something. You do service to, you serve the Lord. You do service to God. You join the ushers.
Hallelujah.
You join the choir. You join the technical team. You preach. You go for outreach. You do service to God. And you just, it's a matter of, I feel it's a reasonable thing to do. How can I say thank you to the Lord? It's just to serve you. To serve you. You know, recently, one of the people that I took care of when they were growing up, and brought me a huge gift and said, look, I just thought it's just the right thing to do. I was touched so much. Just the right thing. And then the next one is what? You are not conformed to the world. You don't toe the line of the world. You know, I wanted to read something for you in Ephesians chapter 2. When you go read it, Bible says that, you know, such were some of you. You know, I mean, you were the prince of the palace. You were like, you used to be like the children of disobedience. But when you go read it, Ephesians chapter 2, it brings salvation. Next week, God will talk about it. And then finally, what? You are transformed by what? By the renewing of your mind. Clap for the Lord Jesus. May you be transformed. Look out for these signs in yourself. And if you don't find it, question God and go on to pray and ask the Lord, give me a true born-again heart. Yes. And make the effort to conform, to be consistent with all these things. Ladies and gentlemen, the words are more, but the time is little. Till we come your way again next time, this is your usual host, Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay, signing off. Put your hands together and rise to your feet.
Ooh, hallelujah.
You know, wow. I like the fact that God says that he will make sure that there will be no famine when he gives us his spirit. Yeah, I call it the spirit of the blessing. The new birth sets you up for God's blessing. The new birth makes God locate you and make you his child. You get the point? He makes you his child. He gives birth to you, and he now, he's like your father now. And he's going to, he said, then you will be my people and I will be your God. You see that? I will be your God. I will be your God. And I believe that God is going to bring miracles in your life through this new birth in the name of Jesus. Lift up your hands and let me pray for you. Father, I pray for the new birth for everyone here. I pray, set us up, young people and average age and elderly. I pray that your blessedness will come upon us, just like you did for Israel. You gave them a new heart. You put your spirit in them, and you set them on the road to the promised land, and you provided for them increase in their corn, increase in their wine, and you took away famine from the midst of them. I pray that anything that anybody lacks over here, Lord, you will supply in abundance. You will supply in abundance. You will supply in abundance as you pour your spirit back into us for the new birth. Give us a new destiny, a new blessing, a new miracle in the name of Jesus Christ. And let our lives be transformed. Let the world not have any appeal for us. May our appeal come from your throne room. Your word says, blessed is the man whom you have chosen and caused to approach, that he may enjoy and be satisfied with the blessings of your house, even of your holy temple. Bless your people as we give our hearts to you. Now, with all eyes closed, all heads bowed, you are here today. You've heard this new birth message, and you are wondering, am I born again? It's a good question to ask. Nicodemus asked it, and God, Jesus said, he's not surprised that you're asking. It's a sign that the word has entered you. And when the word enters you, the best thing is to make a decision with the word, so that the blessing of the Lord will come to you. If you are here today and you want to give your life to Jesus Christ anew, afresh, for real, whether you are watching from Zoom or you are in person, Jesus is calling you. Jesus is asking you, make a sound decision today and see your life transformed, and see reasonable service coming, and see your mind renewed, and see your sacrificial self and your beautiful self come out. Jesus is saying, you have another life that has not shown up. That life is far more beautiful than what you have lived so far, and it's going to shine. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. If you are here and you want to give your life to Jesus Christ and rededicate your life, lift up your right hand wherever you are. Lift up your right hand wherever you are. And I'll pray a short prayer with you. You want to give your life to Jesus? Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. I see that hand. I see that hand. Keep it up. Keep it up. You are there on the Zoom. Lift up that hand. It's okay. It's okay. God is touching you. God is bringing you a new, beautiful life. You watch as your new life unravels. Bless your people. Lift up your hand if you want to. Now, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Now, I want to pray specifically for you. Walk up to the front if your hand is up. Come, come, come to me. Let me pray for you. Come, come to me if your hand is up. Clap for them as they come. Walk up to the front. Walk, come. God bless you. God bless. You can join them. Clap for them as they come. Clap for them. 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 My brother, you can join. Yeah, you lifted up your hand. You can join. Come. Come to the front right here. Come. Come right here. The others, come for company. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we bless your name. Thank you. We surrender. Now, lift up your hand if you're up front here. Father, thank you for your people. Thank you for your children. Oh, I see the beautiful life coming to you. It's so beautiful. It's coming to you and your future. Your life will never be the same again. Your life will never, 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 never be the same again. Amen. Father, I pray by the touch of anointing that that new life will shine bright for everybody to see among the heathen. That you've selected these ones for a blessing. Now say this after me, all of you. And if you're on the Zoom, say it after me. Repeat after me. Say, Almighty Father.
Almighty Father.
I came because of you.
I came because of you.
Not because of any man.
Not because of any man.
I surrender my life to you.
I surrender my life to you.
I know I'm a sinner.
I know I'm a sinner.
Please forgive me.
Please forgive me.
For all my sins.
For all my sins.
And wash me.
And wash me.
In the blood of Jesus Christ.
In the blood of Jesus Christ.
I believe.
I believe.
Jesus is the Christ.
Jesus is the Christ.
The Son of the living God.
The Son of the living God.
He gave me the new birth.
He gave me the new birth.
Because of my faith.
Because of my faith.
Please fill me.
Please fill me.
With your Holy Spirit.
With your Holy Spirit.
And write my name.
And write my name.
In the book of life.
In the book of life.
Forever.
Forever.
Permanently.
Permanently.
Once and for all.
Once and for all.
I will no longer serve Satan.
I will no longer serve Satan.
I will serve Jesus.
I will serve Jesus.
All the days of my
all
life.
All of the days of my
in
life.
In Jesus Christ, in mighty
Jesus
name.
Jesus Christ, mighty
Amen.
Name.
Amen.
Wow. Weren't you blessed by that anointed word of God? Come join our services this and every Sunday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time on Zoom at meeting ID 934-809-4313 or in person at 5769 Shelby Oaks Drive, Memphis, Tennessee. Be blessed.